garbage in, garbage out. So you got to train your model correctly and use the right data. And then second of all, use it responsibly. Be on the lookout that whatever application you develop could fall into the wrong hands and likewise could have negative effects.
Greetings and salutations. After a wonderful summer break, it's time for episode 19 of the Development Best Practices Podcast, brought to you by ILM Professional Services. I'm Jason Erdahl, your podcast host, and today we'll be continuing our talk with Sam Nasser, Microsoft MVP and organizer of the Cleveland.NET User Group, about Azure Cognitive Services. As is always the case with these multi-part episodes, if you haven't listened to that first part, in this case, episode 18 of our podcast, it's probably best to do that before listening to this one. In this episode, Sam and I will talk through the cool and the creepy in cognitive services in general, as well as how Azure pricing works and how to get feedback to Azure on errors or improvements to be made. Here's Sam again. Can I give you an example and maybe we can dig into it a bit? Please. Facial detection is something that's great. And, you know, I've seen all the sci-fi movies where I'm walking along and they're recognizing my face and they're giving me an ad and saying, "Hello, Jason, how can we get this for you?" Can face detection tell me if I have an image, if my picture, like if I send it an image, will it send me a bunch of names back, the people who are in that image?
Short answer is yes. And then, of course, if I train it on Jason Erdahl, then it will recognize Jason from a specific picture. Now, that service has kind of been tuned down a little bit where you have to submit a request to Microsoft, get approval for using that, because as you might imagine, that could be used in a very negative or toxic way.
Creepy as hell. Yes.
Very creepy.
Very creepy.
And just to reiterate on that, if you recall back in 2018, Nicolas Maduro, the president of Venezuela, there was an assassination attempt on him. And that was using a drone with a camera that did facial recognition. He got close to him. And, you know, so needless to say, Microsoft has some safeguards in place to prevent the improper use of facial recognition.
Okay. All right. Wow. That is pretty. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that Azure is doing that. And I'm sure the other services are being as consistent on that. So that's a yay Microsoft moment. So,
absolutely.
All right, cool. Excellent. So we talked about training the model with the data set. So how large does that sample set, does it need to be? I mean, do we get to a point where diminishing returns or giving it too much data? Does it help to add redundant data? Or should I dedupe before I give it the data? What kind of sample set should I give it?
So the answer is it varies. It depends on which service you're using. And again, Microsoft has published some guidelines for image recognition, text recognition, and phrases for natural spoken language. So for Lewis, the guideline is roughly 500 phrases for your application. But then again, that's just a general rule of thumb. And you want to train it a different variety of languages, because when I walk into a car dealership and I specify I want to buy a Mustang, I want it to return back that Mustang is the vehicle and not, you know, say, well, if you're looking for a horse, this is not the place. So it needs to recognize it as a vehicle. And so I need to train it on that. And the more you train it, the more it's going to recognize different variations of that phrase. So meaning, I want to buy a Mustang, sell me a vehicle, I'm looking to get a new ride. All these are three different phrases structured differently, but they all have the same intent.
Got it. That's helpful. So I know you've seen it all and done it all. So when you look at Azure Cognitive Services today, what wows you the most? Like, how do they do that? Is there anything that just like, wow, that's really cool? Like handwriting recognition. What? That's crazy. I thought you had to like call someone up on a witness stand, because I've only ever seen handwriting recognition in the movies, by the way, or television shows. So I always envision someone on a witness stand saying, yes, this one, you've got the eye that does this, etc. But cognitive services can do that. What wows you the most?
Honestly, there's a whole bunch of them. Probably the whole thing that turned me on to cognitive services was the video that I saw from one of the Microsoft engineers back in 2016, where he's a blind engineer, and basically he was working on cognitive services, and he was showing how this could actually benefit humanity. So this gentleman was blind, walking around with a cane and glasses, but yet he'd go sit down at a restaurant, pull out his phone, aim it down at the menu, and it would read it to him. He would hold up his phone, and it would basically tell him who's sitting across from the table. You have a lady smiling. You have a gentleman who looks sad, for example. And as he's crossing the street, again, he points his camera. Oh, there's a teenager who's doing tricks on a skateboard. So it's basically describing the entire world around him and making life a little bit easier for him. So that right there just blew my mind. And then it just helped me to start digging into cognitive services even more. And every service just has its own wow factor, quite honestly.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. So, hey, the promise of technology, it's supposed to make our lives better, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So in lots of different ways. So very cool.
If used correctly and responsibly.
Man, I would love that at different family reunions. Just please tell me who this person is. And what in the heck name their husband is. I haven't defined. Is it Bob? Is it Bill? So you think Azure would sign off on that app for me and allow me to facial recognition of family reunion members?
I think so. Not to mention we might make a killing off of it.
Yeah, I know. That'd be pretty great. I like that. Yeah. So never remember that. All right, great. Excellent. So beyond these great success stories, this example you just gave, what are some other success stories you've heard or seen with Azure Cognitive Services?
So I've seen where it's used for a variety of different uses, where it's basically bringing the wow factor to the table versus actual production use in industry. So one example for that I wanted to mention is in a production environment or in an industrial environment, I should say, there's a lot of dirt, a lot of debris flying around. And so we need to recognize a specific item that's coming down the conveyor belt. And so in that type of environment, it's very difficult, and not to mention need to add in high amounts of heat as well. So we can't exactly put a barcode label on it and read it. So what we had done was basically place these very odd shapes that were made of steel on top of these items. And then using a camera from a distance, we're able to recognize these shapes and be able to identify what was in that car. And so despite the nasty, harsh environment that we're working in, we're able to recognize the image from afar off and be able to keep inventory as items are coming down the conveyor belt. More of a wow factor was working with a bank where basically they wanted it incorporated in their portal. So that way the executives could log in and say, how many new accounts have been opened in the last 30 days, verbally speak it, and then it would render it and produce the report. So makes life a little bit easier, especially for those that are, you know, the executive or the C-level executives that are a little bit technologically challenged.
Yeah.
All they have to do is just simply speak into it, into their laptop, and out comes the report.
Oh, that is really cool. That is really cool. And I'm thinking of some executives I know at banks that would also like to know when the CEO is asking questions like that. Perhaps it could be a text service. Heads up, Bob's going to ask you for that number. And then, you know, quickly look it up. Boom. We could create a service that would look up the number for that person. And then they'd look like a freaking genius to Bob. This is good.
Another money-making idea.
Man, oh man, we're just going to make millions here, millions. All right, great. Good success story. So, of course, you know what they say. In order to make money, you got to spend money. And I imagine Microsoft, although they are a big-hearted company, probably want to recoup some of their massive investment. So they're probably going to charge us for this.
Absolutely.
How does the pricing model for cognitive services work? Is it by the month, by request, a little bit of both?
So I hate to give you the ubiquitous developer answer, but it depends.
You know, that was almost the name of this podcast. Instead of Developer Best Practices Podcast, it was almost It depends.
Really?
So that was almost, no, it wasn't. But that would be funny because I hear that from my developers all the time. So, absolutely. And I've given that answer many times myself.
Yeah.
So it depends. All right.
So essentially it depends on the type of service. There are some that basically charge by the number of calls. And you can, there are some things that can be prepackaged and bought ahead of time to save a little bit of money. But the good news is for developers looking to try this out, they do offer a free tier. So you can actually play around with it, make multiple requests and be able to get the answers back and kind of fine tune your app before you turn it on into production. So there is a free tier that's available.
Okay. Got it. Microsoft is pretty amazing about getting feedback on usage. Let's say I used Form Recognizer. It's still in preview. And there's a few features I wish it had. Is there a way that someone like me that's not an MVP could give feedback to Microsoft to get those cool new features?
Absolutely. And I can provide you with a link. But essentially, every product is managed by a different team. So depending on where you want to provide feedback, it will go to a different team. If you go over to docsmicrosoft.com, and again, I can share the link with you.
Wonderful. And loyal listener, as you know, don't pull over or get in a car accident. Loyal listener, we will add this to the show notes.
There you go.
Got it. All right, great. That's very helpful. Thank you. So, well, we've covered a lot about Azure Cognitive Services. However, is there anything that we miss that you really are just dying to tell us about? Any other features, things we haven't covered about cognitive services that you want to leave us with?
I just want to stress the two items that we discussed previously, garbage in, garbage out. So you got to train your data, train your model correctly and use the right data. And then second of all, use it responsibly and be on the lookout that whatever application you develop could fall into the wrong hands and likewise could have negative effects. So just those two that I wanted to stress.
Okay, great. Excellent. And are we concerned at all about Azure Cognitive Services becoming self-aware? And are we concerned about a Terminator type situation? So are there any constraints? Do you know personally, are there constraints? Is Microsoft, are they watching Cognitive Services? Are we pretty good?
Microsoft may not be watching, but Skynet definitely is. So we'll be on the lookout for that.
And by the way, just in case Skynet is listening, I really like Skynet. They are great. Please don't blow up my house. So those are great. No, this is good. This is good. Sam, you and I have had many, many good conversations in our .NET user group comparisons and that sort of thing. And you do not disappoint as a podcast guest. I'm looking forward to having you back should you deem it wise to return to our humble podcast. But until then, have a great day. Look forward to winter winds blowing. So coolness will come. All right. Thank you, Sam. Have a great
one. Thank you, Jason. You too.
Bye-bye. Okay. We got a little punchy on this episode. Glad you're still listening and we didn't lose you. Sam's a world-class individual and we had some good fun. The Development Best Practices podcast is brought to you by ILM Professional Services. Sam talked about how, like with so much in the development world, the response to many Azure Cognitive Services questions is, it depends. This is where the truly great consultants excel. If a consultant gives you a cookie-cutter answer, you should expect a lot of crummy results. A good consultant will say, it depends, and then listens. And then creates a custom solution for you. And that's what we do at ILM. You'll never get a cookie cutter solution. Please visit ilmservice.com today to find out why and how to work with some of our consultants. Oh, and we're about to leave our teens in the episode count. I am so grateful for the feedback and topic suggestions we've received. If you have any feedback on this episode, want to suggest a topic, or need anything else, please email us at podcast@ilmservice.com. Take care.